Zoiets als trachten, Abisalle. Wenn je mee haar dien, je mee haar achming, of haar rochechonne, of je kippel, en dan zetten ze met jewel. There are still some Jews around. Toet zijn door, als dat niet zelfs. There are a lot of things about which to speak in reference to this period of the year. Some perhaps would be interested in hearing Musa in various areas where we are remiss, in Shmiras HaMitzvot. I leave that for some other time. I prefer tonight not to speak on such a topic. I would rather speak to you about something which to me is of more importance than that. And perhaps if we will realize what we are talking about tonight, then the other matters that perhaps people would like to have discussed will automatically be solved. We say in Krishna, Birkas HaKrishna, tonight, every night, Krishna Shal Arvis, the second bracha of Ahava, Ahava Soilom, we mention there the Torah and Mitzvahs, Heim Chayenu Ve'Oirech Yomein. They are our life and the length of our days. In other words, the Torah Jew feels that what is his lifeblood, you ask someone else what his lifeblood is, he'll tell you the blood that runs through your veins, that's your lifeblood. If you don't have that, you can't continue. And the Jew says, no, that isn't the lifeblood of a Jew. That's lifeblood for an animal also, not only for a human being. What is our lifeblood? In what way is our life as humans, and not only as humans, as B'nai Yisroel, Atubachartonu people? What creates our life? What differentiates it from the animal world? What makes us human? This is our lifeblood, Torah and Mitzvahs. Nosiach b'chukeh. Therefore, we are continually engaged in siach. Siach susenu, speaking of Torah and in Torah. Sicho b'Torah, sicho b'mitzvah. In discussing Torah Hashem, the most important thing that a person is interested in discussing is that which controls his life. What is our life? Hein chayenu. Therefore, nosiach b'chukeh. We are engaged continually in speaking Torah. Thinking Torah is not sufficient. All the thoughts in the Torah world must be brought forth and expressed through the power of speech. Nosiach b'chukeh. Hashem Yisborach created the human individual, Odom. Vayipach ba'apo nishmas chayim. He put into him a neshama, a soul. Vayihi ho Odom lenefesh chayo, a living being. In what sense? Unkele says, Nefesh Chayo, Ruach Memalalo. an individual, a creature who is endowed with the power of speech. In this is the human being different from the animal world. All else was created before the creation of man. Man was the final creature to be created. And he had within him this elevation of soul of Ruach Memalor, the power of speech. If this is what makes man the power of speech, so he has to guard this power, that it shouldn't become animalized. Nosiach b'chukecha. If the power of speech is used for this high purpose, then you are a human being. Then you are what Hashem Yisborach wanted to make man for. If not, what do we need you in this world? These are psukim. I'm not telling you droshes, my thoughts, what I think about these things. These are psukim in the Torah. This is what Torah teaches us. Is of misses ein yiddish kinderlof. This is what I'm telling you, says Hashem Yisborach. If you look at it from that angle, that when a person uses his power of speech, not in this manner, when you look at it from this angle, that this is the difference between the animal and the Ben Yisroel, what would we do if a person were seen all of a sudden puncturing his life vein and drawing forth his blood? What is wrong with you? You're committing suicide. What would we do if we saw a person approach someone else and puncture his life vein? He's losing his blood. You're a murderer. What are we to say when we see a human being, a Ben Yisroel, wagging his tongue in wasted talk and conversation, let alone Lashon Hara, forget about that, but Dvorim Kelim, spending the power, expending the power of speech in wasted talk, gewalding the will, Favos hostet terachmones avziv, you're killing yourself, you're committing suicide. And look what you're doing to this chiyus. Then you see a fellow is learning. Fellow is davening. Fellow is listening to Kriyas HaTeir. And a good friend goes over to him and disturbs him and starts to wag his tongue also about very, very important matters in Shaykh Levi. What are you doing? Murder! He's engaged in Tevet. He's engaged in living. He's engaged in the power and the pleasure of what it means to be a nishmas chayim, a ruach memalov. And what are you doing to it? You're using that power for nothing. You're wasting such a beautiful, beautiful commodity, power of speech. You're murdering it. Do we think in such terms? When we waste, not minutes, but hours in empty talk, do we ever stop to think, gewalding the will, mechanics of God? Never. Never. Many times we call it relaxation. Find a relaxation. A person works hard and he has to relax. So he decides he's going to kill himself for 3 hours. You have a relaxation, you see. Then I got that much than I did. A gelo that much than I did. Relaxation means also to use all your powers for proper needs. But whoever heard of relaxation being stop living for 3 hours? I got that much sugar that much than I did. And that's what we are. That's what we're doing with ourselves. Imagine. The Gaon, Zichrona Livroche, made a Cheshma Nefesh once. The Ali Yisrael brings this. For Rosh Hashanah, he went through his year and he found that he's remiss 6 minutes in the year Beetle Toil, in which he had not been engaged in Toil. Toil does not necessarily mean that he was looking at the Gemara and trying to understand the deep sugi. All the interests of mitzvah, all the interests of value for a Jew in life, that's Toil. He found 6 minutes in which he was not engaged in Toil. Let us begin to learn from this how the Gaon thought of this commodity called time. How he spent his time, the most precious of all commodities, is time. A minute lost is lost forever. You lose 1 million, you make it back. You lose diamonds, you'll get others to replace it. You lose 1 minute, gone forever, never to come back. It's the most precious of all commodities. How careful must one be in counting every minute of life? And that's the way to go and live. Just make a chesed for yourself. 365 days in a year. Every day, 24 hours. Every hour, 60 minutes. No. Count up how many minutes in a year. And the Gaon knew how many minutes and had them down pat. And he saw before himself, before Rosh Hashanah, 6 minutes were wasted. And for those 6 minutes he wept. The tshuva. Where do we stand when we hear such a thing? Do we know how many minutes we waste? Not in a year, not in a month, not in a week. Are we aware of how many minutes we waste in a day? Not in 24 hours, but in one day. Before we go to bed, how many minutes were wasted by us to no purpose whatsoever? We didn't expend them in a profitable manner. Everything with us, we live in a world where everything is automatic. Time, sure, time is there. We never stop to think. Time is one of the creations of Hashem Yisborach. He himself is above time. Far above time. Hashem Yisborach created a world, a creation. And one of the commodities created in this creation is the commodity of time. Zman potabashat. And he wants it to be used for our benefit. Are we aware of it? Is this the way we have lived throughout a year? When we come in Rosh Hashanah to him, Yisborach, what are we going to bring there to him of the time of a past year? What are we going to tell him? Look at the Ben Yishalel. Look how we took care of this commodity. Is that what we're going to tell him? Either we don't know what it's all about, so we'll tell him nothing. If we do know, we're going to be terribly ashamed to tell him. And I'm not talking to you, gentlemen, I'm talking to myself. But I hope you don't mind if you hear what I'm telling myself.
This is the way we live today. Vom absoluten Fest. Was is Zeit? Was is a minute? If we did, every time we were engaged in something that's valueless, we would stop immediately. Oi! Give up on taking diamonds and throwing them into the sea. But we never think about these things. These optimists are showing Kimirutas Hasus, just like a horse is running. He has no concept of thinking where he's running. I like the field. We are also, Zakhtam Siddhish Shishorim, the same. Ferdish Ikep and Ferdish Seifon. Malek, Malek! What's next? Show me, what have you done? What have you created in a year? What value has been brought forth in a year of living? Do we ever think about these things? When we come in Rosh Hashanah, is this what bothers us when we stand before Hashem Yisborah? Or are we bothered merely to pray to Him, tapping Him all, Ibn Zanayim Yora Gut Yor, mit Hashiris, mit Nachas von die Kinder, mit allem gute Sachen? To that extent, we're my meaning. That if not for Him, we wouldn't have it. But are we thinking about what we did with all this Nachas that He gave us in the past year? How did we expend it? Do we mean to expend it the same way in the coming year? Or does Damir and Bitten? These are things that have to bother us. And the Lord said this long ago. This is the nature of man. Mitzvah Hashem becomes with him, and mitzvah Sandoshim Melumodah. It's something that happens of itself. Something that I become accustomed to and I do it. I put on tefillin because I'm accustomed to putting on tefillin. When I don them in the morning, do I think, what am I now engaged in? What am I doing when I bind it around my arm? When I place it upon my head? Put on your crown of beauty. Do we then think when we put on the tefillin, well, it's beside the bush and the spits and that, and the feet, and the cat, and the hell, all of the tefillin, blah, blah, blah. Nu. Unter Rebbeinu Shelem Haltus Lach. So how merciful indeed is He. What did you have trying it out? What does a father do to a child? If he acts that way, in putting on his tefillin on the first day of his bar mitzvah. Was it us? And if they give me a fraske, when we do it every day throughout our lifetime, and the Rebbeinu Shel Olam fraske tunes me, when we trachmona shafuns, when avar, still has some time, maybe tomorrow you'll be better. If we would think along these lines, how different we would become. How different we would become. It's beyond imagination. What this alone would do to us. So that's why I tell you, I begin to think and give us ourselves, Musa, we went remiss in this mitzvah, we went remiss in not even knowing. Who are we? What are we? We don't give thought. There's where we're remiss. And we won't get tracked for seinem hier. We may believe ourselves that we wouldn't be going remiss in Shemitah Samitzvah. Yes, it could happen. But the whole concept of living would be a completely different thing. But the way we live from day to day, the Lebni can Lebni, and we call it living. Then that I eat rachten, as it's kumtsigena zochel and on today. Next week is going to be the sleepest day, Hegensel of Sinon. No, so what's it going to be? That's the sleepest. Midnight. Used to it every year. That's the way it works. And the sleepiest period starts. Sleepiest means the second desire. It means we've gone remiss and we're asking for forgiveness. Do we feel that we've done something that calls for forgiveness? Do we feel that we haven't used time properly? Do we feel what is the gift of life that Hashem Yisborach has given to us? And how have we used that gift? Do we feel that? So beyond all else, before we begin thinking of the whole Al-Khet that we say on Yom Kippur, this great Al-Khet, life itself, Ribbono Shel Olam, just look down and see how we haven't used it properly, how we haven't expended it properly, how we've wasted the most precious of all commodities. We've wasted time. And when we've seen others who do use it properly, how many times have we disturbed them? So we have actually committed murder against these people. We have disturbed them from what to them is a recognition of what life really means. These are thoughts that should strike us at this time of year. Rosh Chodesh, we blew shofar. That shofar is the shofar Chazal tell us that Klal Yisrael blew when Moshe Rabbeinu went up on Rosh Chodesh Elul to receive the second Tiferes after that terrible, terrible sin and crime. After the first Lufus of the Pesel, after that crime, Hashem Yisborach, with His forgiveness, with His Rachmi, hearkened to the prayers of Moshe Rabbeinu, who prayed with Mesiras Nefesh that they be forgiven. And he was told to come up and he'd be given the second Lufus, nowhere's near what the first ones were. That you lost. That opportunity is gone. You'll have to wait till Mashiach came from it. But I won't renounce you altogether. So he comes up for the second Lufus. But we have to remember what happened when he went up and disappeared for the first. The eagle. So Klal Yisroel, the Besdin, blew a shofar. And they were machlis, they called forth throughout the entire community of the Midbar. Moshe Ol Alehor. Be aware of the fact he hasn't disappeared. He's gone up to the Hor to see the benefits of the Rachmei Hashem. And upon that shofar, the Novi says, Ayitokashu forbir, Yohom lo yechrodu. Is it possible to hear the sound of the shofar and you should be not be overtaken by fear? When Klal Yisrael heard that shofar, they became aware of what is now coming to pass. And there didn't emerge an eagle from this Aliyah Lahore. And we continue that Kol Shofar, the Tur tells us, straight through Elul, day after day. From one day to another, we may forget. That's the weakness of humankind. Yesterday it was Yitokha Shofar, the Omlo Yatrodu, Molech Rode. It's either you shiver from fear. The next day you don't hear the shofar. He said, now, fine, good, everything's okay. Lost the last week, no shofar. You continue it throughout the Elul. Then you stop before Rosh Hashanah for one day, because tomorrow is going to be another shofar. This was a shofar as a remembrance of that shofar b'midbar. There's no mitzvah written in the Torah to blow that shofar. But we do ourselves the favor of a chesed of blowing that shofar. But lest you think that the shofar of Rosh Hashanah is that same shofar, no, stop one day. And tomorrow on Rosh Hashanah, then be mekayem the mitzvah of tkiyas shofar. And what does the Rambam say in the Rosh Hashanah din shofar? Remez yeshbe. We do not know the reasons for God's mitzvahs. All the reasons that we give are only meant to make it more palatable for us. We who don't understand the wishes of the Almighty. And when we give a time, what we in English usually call a reason, or let us say a taste of a mitzvah, a time of the mitzvah, that's far lower than the Rabbeinu Shlomo's reasons in mitzvahs. We can't grasp that, we can't reach to it. Rambam says, even though Kiya Shefer is Zera min HaShomayim, the Rabbeinu Shlomo's mitzvah, it's a Zera whether we understand it or not, and we don't understand why. But Remez Yesh B'Dovah, there is something for us to learn in this. And he speaks beautifully about us in this world who spend our days and our time behavli asman in the foolishness of what goes on throughout time, day and night. An entire year we've been spending our time in these havolim. The shofar comes to remind us, this is what you've been doing with time. Stop it! You're expending the most important of commodities in the most foolish of ways. Understand that you're called by the shofar to stand before Hashem Yisborach, the shofar of Rosh Hashanah. So the Rabbeinu Shalom is well aware of our weaknesses. And because he's so aware of it, he's Mole Rachmin, full of mercy. And this repeats itself year after year. We cannot say that it makes no impression upon us, Chas v'Shalom. We can't even begin to imagine how deep the impression is year after year. Another charodet makes our hearts move year after year. When that keeps up for a lifetime, we can't even imagine what we would have been if not for these charodets of every Rosh Hashanah. This is the mercy of Hashem Yisborach. Year after year, arouse and make this reckoning of what life has meant for you, how you have expended it, what you've done with it, and what you intend to do with it further from now on. When you live that way, there's always the hope that maybe, I will arrive at a time when I will be able to view life through the perspective of the Vilna Gaon, who measured and counted every moment of living to an extent to be able, Erev Rosh Hashanah, to say that 6 minutes were not used properly. Bitul. All the rest of his time was used for the purpose designated by Hashem Yisborach for us, B'nai Yisroel. There's always that hope. Perhaps we'll arrive at that stage. These are the things that should be bothering us at this time of the year. When that will be taken care of, then we can begin thinking about al chet shechotono lefenecho, this chet and that chet and all the other chatoi. But the first thing, herauskriechen vom Grub, soll man herauskriechen. To be down in the depths and to think there about how many chatoim I have. But when are you going to get out of the depths? Come back. Once you're out, then you begin to think, what did I do to put myself into those depths? Then you say, I'll take you for total of the depths. You come to your people. You've gone through the Dori, Hashem Eiri Zerosh Hashanah. You've taken yourself out of the darkness of those depths, and you've seen the light. Now you're ready. Yishi Zeyum Akipurim. From the perspective of the light of Rosh Hashanah, which shines upon us, we are able then to approach life. To see, but as long as I'm there in that deep pit, in the darkness of the pit, I'll be wasting my time if I'll think then I'll hate you but only for little. I don't even know what chet is. I don't see chet. I have no perspective of chet. First, I've got to lift myself from the pit and begin to see the light. Hashem Oiri Zerish Hashoah. Then from there there will follow Yishi Zeyim HaKipuri. In what will the Yeshua be? Because once I have the perspective of light, and with that light, I feel the head now, and I beg of you, the Alkula Melechas Alifus, Slachlon Mechalon Kapelon. But Rosh Hashanah, impossible to speak about that. We're not ready for that. These are thoughts that should bother us at this time of year. There's a mitzvah in Torah. We say it every day in Kriya Shema. V'dibartobov, we're commanded to study Torah and to perform mitzvahs. V'dibartobov, your whole power of speech shall be used for them. Every time you use the power of speech, it has to be for the purpose of Torah and of mitzvahs, for no other purpose. And the Gemara says, every time you use the power of speech, not for bom, so you're over the mitzvahs asay of the dibar to bom. So it's an aveira. But you know, my friends, there's more to that in the Pasuk than the Aveira alone. There is a piece of advice that Hashem Yisborach has given us. Do you want to keep away from Dvorim Ketanim? Do you want to guard yourself from expending time and speech on foolishness, on Havlei Hazman? You have a wonderful Eitzet. Use it for Torah. If you will accustom yourself to using the power of speech for that for which speech was ordained, you will never have voluntary. Why are we engaged in voluntary? Why? When we call it, oh, it's only joking. Because we're not aware, we're not conscious of the debate of God. So we think we're doing big things. But if we would create within ourselves a consciousness of the debate of God, we wouldn't have the time for drawing failure. Give out in the world. How can I talk Narishkeit when I could in this very moment now be saying a pleasant feeling? I could say, ah, Aloche, what not? All these treasures of our great treasure store of Torah and Mitzvahs, I could use it for every minute, and look what I've done. Never would a Jew engage in Dvorim Tfeilin. Even if it isn't Lashon Hara. Even if it isn't Tefillos. Dvorim Tfeilin! You found it in that. How can I afford a thing like that? And then you begin to think, was it only Dvorim Tfeilin? Was it only empty talk? Or did I murder people with my talk? I murdered people. I didn't shoot anyone. I didn't stick a knife into his heart. But you slandered him. You spoke ill about him. That is murder. You killed the person unwittingly, thinking that you did nothing. We know this. You always tell him, I didn't do anything, I always said it. I do not, you only said it. But saying such a thing, you're committing an act, crime, killing people with the power of your tongue. So when you start off with Dvorim Tfeilin, you don't build in yourself a consciousness for what speech has to be used. Ultimately, it'll always turn into Lashon Hara. To the extent that Chazal teaches, don't speak too many praises of your friend. Praises? It's the nature of a human being. If you wouldn't be engaged in the Shva, so you're not talking about him, so you don't have to mention that in this and this he didn't do well. But now if we begin to examine ourselves in that light, so the Baal Tachin, what have we done with ourselves during the past year? What have we done with ourselves? How much Dvorim Tfeilin that ultimately led to Lashon Hara, to the Chiles, to Sinas Achim, creating hatred among Jews. And that's what we see throughout the world today. There was never a period in Jewish history like the one we live now in. That to me is one of the proofs that Mashiach is about to come, because it would be terrible if not. We always had chilukei days. We had differences of opinion. There's nothing wrong with differences of opinion. Eilu ve'eilu, divrei Elokim chayim. There were differences of opinion between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, down through the ages. Eilu ve'eilu, divrei Elokim chayim. But that's chilukei deis within the framework of Torah. That brought forth love for each other, as the Gemara itself says, in reference to Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Such chilukei deis, at Chazal say, reach an extent where nasu ke'oyavim, they become like enemies to each other, b'milchamto shel Torah. And this enmity of milchamto shel Torah creates the greatest love for one another. Chilukei deis has never destroyed Klal Yisrael. Today we don't have chilukei deis. They call it today Pilugei Deis. Jews are divided among themselves. Not Mechulot, divided. Pilugei Deis. Hatred. You pick up papers from Eretz Yisrael today. I stopped bringing it into the house.
Schmollei mit Sine Sachen und von Frume von Zadikim, was jeder Wort ist, kweit du Schosse und du Schosse geht nicht. Takschat, takschat, takschat. Full the papers. Full of Dusche and full of Sine Sachen. Never in Jewish history have we ever lived through such a terrible period. Why is this? Because we have lost sight completely of the Dibart of Bom. Why write articles and placards talking about Narishkeiten? Engage in Teire. Engage in Teire study. Engage in Shmidas HaMitzvahs. You won't have any time to write these articles and to act like a fool. Never, never in Jewish history have we gone through such a terrible period as we are now going through. And there's no question in my mind that the Rebbeinu Shlom is not going to permit this to continue. And I guess that he's going to bring Mashiach. Because if without Mashiach, all I see is that from day to day, it's becoming worse, not becoming better. Yeshivas occupied in this business, in this foolishness. Instead of b'devar tobom, that narus bin at the street, who are reading the politics, which is too tough. Well, that's the battles that are in politics. Let the Rebbeinu Shlom worry about the politics. You worry about understanding that Pesach, understanding that Rashi, the Kumtza Blad Gimore, Adaf Yemi. You waste them before you sit down to the Blad, and the first thing you got to discuss is the new government in Israel. And when you're finished with the Blad, you got to continue discussing the new government in Israel. Why? That's a waste of time. You're not going to create the premier, and you're not going to make him leave the premiership. Wouldn't it be better, before you sit down to the Blad, to attune yourself, Gevalt, I'm going to listen to a Blad Gemara. What is a Blad Gemara? Did you ever stop to think? What's meant to Slevin and Peir? A dialogue with Hashem Yisburah. You're not listening to the Rebbe who's saying the Blad. He's only channeling to you Hashem Yisburah's speech. If he's a Rebbe that can't do it, then you have to get rid of him. Imarav David Malach Hashem Tzvokis. Malach is a messenger. If the Rebbe is a messenger of the Almighty, Kavi Torah Mipidi. Go and seek Torah from him. You know why? He's only the Shliach. What you hear from him is God's word. And when you ask a question, you're not talking to him, you're talking to the Almighty. Where can you have such a privilege? A dialogue with Hashem Yisburah. And that's Torah learning. So if we would realize this, and every time we come in for the Blad, the Daf Yomi, before we sit down to begin the learning, we would put to mind, would we have the ability to start off with Narishkeit? Would that be possible? And if after we finish the block, if we feel that we have conversed with him, we've had a dialogue with him, would we have the power right after the block is over to say that Loshon Hora of, to my friend, the next door neighbor, you know, yesterday the Rebbe said the block better. That's Loshon Hora. That's Loshon Hora. Would we say that if we felt that we weren't just listening to a human being? Through him, we were listening to Hashem Yisborach's voice, who was teaching us his thing. How lucky we'd then be! We'd then begin to understand what is dafyin. We'd then begin to understand what is a daily kviyas in learning. And maybe then when one has a daily kviyas of an hour, he becomes so overwhelmed, I want another hour. And from another hour, it'd be 3 hours. Who said a piece of learning of a balabos is only an hour a day? You can have it 3 and 4 hours also, and succeed better in your business that way. No question about it. Why not try it? See if my prescription will work or will not work. And the best of the prescription is that it will be saved from the poison of boring pain. Speech won't be intermixed with that poison of voluntative. The best thing in the world. And there will follow all the other blessings from that. These are things that we have to keep in mind. And when we shall so do, we'll begin to feel yet another thing. In tshuva, repentance, the Rambam says, all the mitzvahs of Torah, sheyas etshuva, v'yoshuv, v'chetoy, chayov li'isvadois, he has to express his guilt, his vidui, v'fnei hakel boruchu, before the Almighty. What does this mean, l'fnei hakel? Expressly, Fnei Akeil, you say, Chotosi. What is the concept of Fnei Akeil before him? In Prosik state, Lefonech. Before him, what does that mean? Vidui and Tshuva are of value if we realize to whom we are talking. We have to have a concept that we're standing in his presence, then the tshuva is a tshuva. But if we don't begin to feel that we're standing in the presence of Hashem Yisborak, it's not a vidui and it's not a tshuva, it's just empty words. Ni davnem fesida, no zogun fesida. Amounts to that. And all that's demanded of us is this small thing. When you begin to pray, when you begin to say vidui, when you begin to be about tshuva, attune yourself. With whom am I dealing? Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then it's a completely different picture, a completely different world. Just one final word. The Gemara tells us that when Sanhedrin Melech Ashur was on the verge of conquering Yerushalayim, Hizkiyahu HaMelech what's to be done? Mizetim Churban Fadi'ed, what can we do? The Gemara tells us a most interesting thing, and the Gemara explains this in one of the psukim in Tanakh, but this is what the pasuk means. Noach cherem beveis hamedrash, the pishrish of beveis hamedrash. Chizkiyahu HaMelech said, here Sanhedrin stands with his great army, with which he has conquered an entire world, and we are the last ones that he's attacking. He has cherem. We have to be fearful of that cherem. So he took his cherem and put it into the door of the Beis Medrash as you enter. Alos on zem, a state of the cherem. The Omar, mi sheyetzei mi Beis Medrash, whoever shall leave the Beis Medrash and stop study of Torah, Yidokeir v'cheret zeh, shall be killed with this cheret. Botku midon v'ad ber sheva. They then began to take a census of Klal Yisroel. And they found v'lomotsu amoretz, from the north down to the far south, Migeves v'ad antiperes, from east to west, v'lomotsu tinek v'tinekes, ish v'isho, שלא היו בקיים בהלכס פער. It's unbelievable.
But what's the concept of Noah's Heret? He wanted to punish them that anyone who leaves the Besmeders and doesn't study Torah will be killed. There's no such thing. Bitl Torah is a bitl of a mitzvah saseh. And there's no bitl mitzvah saseh that's chayiv mishas bezdin. There's no such thing. I think that Chazal want to teach us something very, very deep, what we've been talking about. We know that every thought that strikes us, if we see it with our senses, it impresses us much more. We know, hein chayenu v'erech yomenu. But if we would have before us someone actually drawing the blood, oi, it's murder. Chizkiyahu no'atz chelet b'beis hamedrash. And he said, you see, Torah is your lifeblood. With that we shall succeed against all the plans of Sanhedrin. And the Gemara says, they all left their fields and their vineyards. All went to nothing. They had no interest in these things of this world. They went to the Besmeders. And in the Besmeders they saw the sword. It reminded them, if I leave this medrash, I'm killing myself. I don't need Sanhedrin there. I've done the job for him. If I stay in this medrash, there's no cherem in the world that can overcome me. That's what Chizkiyahu HaMelech did. Yelemotsu amoretz mitom ad Be'er Sheva. Imagine how great we are. We're talking about faults. How we don't expend time properly. How we don't use time properly. But on the other hand, think how great is a Jew. They who were on the threshold of destruction by Sanhedrin, yet they were able to rise to the occasion. When a Jew finally does feel what it's all about, how great can he become? From the depths of the pit, he can rise to the heights of the heavens. That's a Jew. That's a Ben Yisrael. So my friends, if we will begin to realize what it's all about, we will begin to realize who we are and what we are. We have a lot to be happy with and to be proud of. Let us hope that as the new year approaches, we'll all be zeiche to aksive v'hasime toivo under the guidance of Hashem Yisborach, in a year of Geula v'Yeshua in all respects, when we will rise thereby to the heights that every Jew potentially possesses, but we never want to make use of this potential. Let us rise. Let us be worthy of God's mercy. And then, not only will we come out of the pit to the Eir of Rosh Hashanah, not only will we be zeiche to the Yeshua of Yom HaKippurim, but we will be zeiche to Zman Simchaseinu, to enjoy the happiness and the elation with the Almighty without a physical roof over our heads in the Sukkas Hashem Sholeh.